Please be advised.
Spoiler alert episode. Spoiler.
Please be advised. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah. Avengers Endgame spoiler apps.
You know, there was so much to talk about. It was really hard to kind of navigate the regular review. We're like, well, what? I want to mention this. I want to mention this. And then, but now we can mention
it. We can mention it.
Graham, this is spoiler episode 94.
Oh, halfway to 188. Yep, holy shit. That. This is going to be awesome.
I wonder what it'll be 100. Spoiler. Oh, I wonder, man, what it'll be. Will it be the latest Star Wars? I wonder if it'll line up to 100. Yeah.
That'll probably, because that comes out in December.
Yeah. Might be. I think there's nothing in May.
Well, wait a minute. There's, what's the big one coming in May? We just talked
about Godzilla, but it doesn't, it's coming so late that it'll actually be, the spoiler will be in June because it's the end of the month.
I don't know. Maybe we do an Ugly Doll spoiler episode.
That would be great. You know, try to answer all the unanswered questions.
Yes, from a bad kids movie that has a horrible trailer.
My favorite part of that, too, is like as contrived and horrific as it looks, like the whole premise of Ugly Dolls is that these are ugly dolls.
Oh.
But they're in the trailers and on the billboards. No, they made them cute. So the entire premise you've ruined at this point.
Sounds like we need to do a spoiler.
Yeah, maybe we do. You know what I think we'll do, Graham? Because I might have to see this movie in case one of my kids sees it.
Oh, I was joking. Don't make me go see this, Chris, because you have kids. I don't have to go do this.
I was going to say,
I don't make you watch surf documentaries. Yeah.
Not all the time.
Well, sometimes you should, Chris, because you need to get in touch with nature.
Yeah, I do. Specifically surf.
Surf nature.
Surf nature. What we could do more of, I think, with these movies, especially when we see them, is people really like those little mini rants we put on Patreon.
Okay.
So we'll do like a, you know, one of us, if we see a movie that we really have a lot more to say spoiler-wise, we'll put on Patreon.
So I feel like if your kids force you to see this movie, you will need to rant about it.
Pretty much. Yeah. We should probably, if there's space on Patreon, we should reserve it now for that.
I feel like this might be the handful of times a year where you text me from the theater pissed off.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But I can't leave because I can't leave my kid.
And you're like, God damn it, Graham. I need to. And you're like, you're mad about this for like 3 days until we come in here on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
All right.
So one of them is going to get me. It's either going to be that one or Angry Birds 2. I'm gonna end up in one of them.
One of them's going to get me.
Yeah, I know I'm going to land one of them. And each one is going to be horrible.
I think we should take bets on what's the over under on which movie is going to get Chris.
Oh, God, I don't know. It's.
I go Angry Birds 2.
Yeah, it might be. Might be.
Here's my thinking. Your kids are going to. One or both of them loves playing the game so much.
Yeah.
They're going to force you into seeing it, and you're going to go, you're going to try to talk them out of it.
Yeah, I'm like, no, are you sure you want to see, why don't we go see Endgame again?
Yeah. No, I already saw it. And then the kids are going to hate it, and you're going to go,
I told you, kids,
you're old enough now to know what a bad movie is when you watch it.
We should have seen Missing Link.
All right. Let's introduce our guest.
Let's do it.
Did not cancel.
That's his name. Did not cancel.
Did not cancel. It's Yiddish.
Middle name.
He's been on the show numerous times. He's done numerous spoiler ups with us. Typically when there's something he really needs to discuss. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Avery.
Hey guys. How are you?
Nice radio voice, Kevin.
I didn't mean to do that. This is what happens when you don't wear the headphones.
Don't ever apologize for a radio voice, Kevin.
I'll try not to. I just have to thank you for reaching out to me for the, I needed to discuss. You reached out to me as I was going in to see this movie.
That's what I love.
It was perfect.
Beautiful timing.
Yeah.
Beautiful timing.
You were like, I'm just walking in right now. It's like perfect. Usually, and there's been several episodes or spoiler apps, last year's Han Solo being one of them, where I believe you were like, Graham, I need to talk to you about, I need to come in and do a spoiler as more of kind of a...
I had to work some shit
therapy
out.
Therapy session.
Yeah. My therapist can't help me with this.
So there's only one place I can go. So, all right. So, for obviously, if anyone's new, this is a spoiler eps. We are going to talk about everything about this movie, or as much as we can, including the ending. So, if you've not, if you're one tenth of the population percentage wise that has not seen this movie yet, I would suggest hitting pause, going to see this, and then coming back.
You did not contribute to the $1.2 billion it made over the weekend worldwide. You are probably coming this week.
Yeah, help out the startup company.
Yeah, the Disney.
I mean, just trying to you know, get a career going. These guys.
Yeah.
Just
all these, trying their best.
All these poor actors and
trying to carve out a niche.
And I will say that I'm particularly excited to be on this episode, the spoiler episode, because I've been able to talk about the movie, but only in whispers. Because I've been in, this is the first time I can use my radio voice to talk about this
You're
movie.
In a safe place, Kevin.
Thank you.
Yes. You're in a
thank
safe
you.
Place.
Thank you.
So should we start with what Kevin's overall impressions are, and then we'll go into specifics?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I want to ask this first question.
Okay.
Did you cry when Tony Stark died?
Mm-hmm.
When
No. No, I did not.
Okay. Does this now tie into your... All right, let's get in. So now give us your overall impressions and why you have a heart of stone.
Look, if you know me, you know I've seen all the Marvel movies.
Right.
I've seen certainly many of them multiple times. Certainly I saw Infinity War multiple times. Went and saw Endgame. Didn't quite get it. Kidding. What if that?
You froze me. You really froze
that response.
We were like, I was frozen.
Didn't understand what was happening.
How could you not?
No, absolutely loved it. I've seen it twice already.
Sure.
I saw it today's Tuesday. Yeah, so I've seen it twice already. And the word that I keep seeing thrown around is satisfying, but I feel like that is probably one of the best words to describe it. For me, so much was wrapped up, so much was called back, so many things they touched on. I didn't cry when Tony Stark died, but I had already been crying in the movie.
That is why.
And I cried when I cried, and you know, we can get to this when we get to this, but I cried when Cap grabbed the hammer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or didn't grab it, when the hammer came to Cap. I sat up in my seat. And like hand over my mouth, gasping. I was alone in the row, and so there's no one to talk to. And I was just like, I was.
He's worthy.
It was a clutch my pearls moment. and then I cried shortly after that when all the female superheroes lined up to protect. The, even now, I'm getting chills thinking of that moment. That was such a great moment. And excuse me, I cried at his funeral.
Yeah, that funeral was...
Partially because of just... Yeah, it was very moving, but also just that shot was so well done. I just really loved how they moved through everybody, and you saw, including that kid that I didn't know who it was for 24 hours.
Yeah, until you get on the internet. Oh, that's from Iron Man 3,
yeah,
the kid that who's basement estate or garage estate in or whatever.
Exactly, yeah. So I... that movie.
Well, I think one of the reasons it had such an emotional impact, we were talking about at the beginning of the other episode, is that, you know, Robert Downey Jr. has been the face of this franchise.
Yes.
And he's been in more movies than any of them when you add them all up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like 3 Iron Man movies, 4 Avengers movies,
yeah,
and then also
the Hulk.
Civil War. He was in the cameo in The Hulk.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so you look at like... So when he dies, you realize it hits you like on multiple levels, because it's like, oh, this is the end of this era of filmmaking and this phase of Marvel movies that we've been building up to.
Mm-hmm.
So not only do you lose a beloved character, but you realize that this is the end of this entire era.
It's also, you know, let's go back in history and realize, you know, we were, you know, Marvel... This is when this started. This is back when, you know, Marvel was not making great movies.
No.
You know, this is when DC was sort of like made the better movies a little bit.
Yep.
And this was like, there's a couple X-Men that were okay, but this was sort of like, So when that first Iron Man came out, I mean,
it was Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man was like the first really great Marvel movie.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Spider-Man 2 and 3, like whatever, kind of
I think 3 was solid. Yeah, 2 was solid. Awful. Yeah. And then once they rebooted it, it was a disaster.
They couldn't
figure
it out after that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we weren't, when Iron Man 1 came out in 2008, we weren't in this Marvel can do no wrong.
No, we were all skeptical.
And there was no franchise. Even I mean, right, yes, exactly. The Spider-Man franchise, but there wasn't the overarching. There wasn't the MCU.
Yep.
Right.
And Iron Man, to me, was the first. I mean, yes, the first two Spider-Man movies were great. But that Iron Man movie, for the longest time, that was my favorite Marvel movie. That It was so solid.
Yeah.
You know,
and we had had Batman Begins, so that was like, okay, DC's getting Batman right finally.
Right.
So I was like, wait a minute, because I went into Batman Begins very skeptical. I was like, oh shit. And 08 is when the second one came out.
Remember when Heath Ledger was announced as the Joker? And everyone went, oh my God.
Here we go. Yeah. And like, awful. So that's like,
I love to be proven wrong.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
That was like the greatest
great surprise.
One.
I felt that way about Chris Evans. Yeah. Only because I associated him with the Human Torch.
Right.
And I just didn't, you know, Fantastic Four was what it was, but that character was kind of cocky. And it was a very interesting choice considering, you know, Human Torch is, Johnny Storm, he's very different from what Captain America should be. And I was just kind of like, oh, God, what?
That's such a great, I remember that too, because I remember at the time going, oh, Chris Evans is some pretty boy. Yeah. He sucked as the Torch. What the?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, he hadn't been given the right material yet.
Right.
Heath Ledger, we hadn't known what he was capable of.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was like, that's the context. So when Iron Man, the first, I remember being like, oh my God, this is great.
Yeah.
That opening scene where it's like the champagne pops out of the thing and he's like, that's how Dad did it. That's how America does it. Boom. And it's just like, wow. The stripper pole comes up in the private jet.
I forgot.
When Terrence Howard is trying to talk to him, he's like, no, I'm being serious. He's like, oh, I know, brother. And he's like, stripper pole, cocktails. And he's like, Tony Stark, it was such a great depiction of the playboy jackass rich kid Tony Stark and his arc of like, oh, our weapons
are actually killing
people.
Yep.
And what a great social commentary in the middle of this popcorn film.
Right.
Yeah.
Which was drawn from the material because in the 70s, that was a storyline with Stark Industries in the Vietnam War. He had to kind of come to that reckoning.
Oh, wow.
And they drew, again, it was like, so when you see that, I remember going, oh, they're drawing from the source material. They're not abandoning the comics.
Yeah. But also, it was so... When I think back, it all seems so simple.
You got to remember, too, this is before Disney even bought Marvel.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
You know, this was, you know, Marvel was hemorrhaging money. You know, they were selling their characters to movie studios. That's why they were all broken up. Like, the X-Men were at Fox and, you know, Spider-Man was at Sony. Like, they were selling properties to stay alive. Then when Iron Man hit, I'm like, oh, wait, we can turn this around. But unfortunately, we signed horrible deals. Now, we've lost some of these characters. What do we have left? We'll build our universe around the Avengers. Mm-hmm. And that's what they did. But now, you know, Disney's gotten so huge. They don't bought Marvel. They bought Fox. They're going to get all these Marvel characters back. And then they've licensed a deal with, you know, back from Sony to get Spider-Man. So, you know, it's interesting. They've gotten most of what they license back under one roof again.
Yeah, which is exciting because even with the X-Men, it's going to be a while. But it kind of works, I think, for the sort of real world depiction they've created for all these heroes. Because now we have a world that's sort of getting used to these Avengers running around, and that's changing. Oh, and we got a Spider-Man over here, and another thing, you know, and a Captain Marvel is off in space. But it'll be interesting to see, like, what would normally happen next. You would have another group of quote-unquote Avengers would show up, and that's your X-Men.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It would be a minute, and then we'd be like, wait, a whole new group of superheroes? And so that's what's kind of cool about sort of taking a little bit of time to bring the X-Men into the fold instead of rushing it and slamming in, you know.
Avengers always had a rotating lineup anyway.
Yeah.
You know, you've got, you know, She-Hulk. She was in there for a while. Mm-hmm. You never see her in the movies. But also then you had West Coast Avengers. I mean, there were so many characters. And then they, I remember there being like a little, you know, licensing issues with Fox because when you have characters like Scarlet Witch, and Quicksilver. I'm like, are Avengers and X-Men.
They're mutants.
Like, how do we, you know, and then it got like, you know, then the lawyers had to go into a room and fight, you know, to see who they could
fight
use and where.
Superhero.
Yeah, yeah, over Avenger or X-Men. Avenger or X-Men, who can we use? Like, you know, like Quicksilver.
Yeah.
Was one of the, you know, so there was all this weird
I want to go back to this, too, is with the first Iron Man was when the, like, they really put, there was a stinger in the trailer that you were like, what?
Oh, yeah.
It was like Thor's hammer or some shit like that. I was like, wait, what? Oh, what? And then now that's just become a staple.
Right.
But I was like, you know, 11 years ago now when that movie came out, I was like, Robert Downey Jr., perfectly cast as Tony Stark. And that was the cornerstone of this, what has now become the MCU that Disney runs or whatever. So when him dying in Endgame, I was like, I had to really kind of go.
Had to take a moment.
I had to take a moment because I was like, this guy's been, and we talked about it on the regular episode, Comedy Film Nerd started in April of 2008 as a website that just was funny movie reviews written by comedians. We didn't start the podcast till December of 2009.
Okay.
So I was kind of like, the whole length of this company that is, we've done movies and festivals and all this stuff. We've flown around the world to do things. And we're all in probably upwards of 600 episodes. And Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man has been there throughout all of it.
Yeah. He's grown up with.
Yeah, it really has.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
You know, so. I mean,
because I was thinking, like, I'm trying to remember the stingers, like, because I think the first stinger of the Iron Man movie was him meeting Nick Fury, and I think that was it.
Right.
And then, because the second one was Hulk, that no one really remembers. That was the second MCU, and that stinger was Iron Man coming in with, like, a briefcase and talking about the Hulk. And then I'm trying to remember when we got the teaser for Thor, which movie that was.
Was that Iron Man 3 or 2? Or
it might have been Iron Man 2.
It must have been Iron Man 2.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Aaron, do you mind looking this up?
Where are the stingers?
Where was the Thor hammer stinger in the Iron Man movies?
I
think it was the
first one. I don't think it was the first one because Thor wasn't the second movie.
So, okay, wait. But the first stinger was the one in Iron Man 1.
Oh, that was Nick Fury. Going, you think you're the only superhero around?
Oh, right.
That
right.
was
okay.
behind, yeah.
Okay. It's interesting that, I mean, what else could they do? But like, to watch this movie and there's nothing at the end.
Right.
I mean, except Tony Stark banging on that hammer.
Right.
You know, but after going through all these movies where I'm not moving, I'm waiting it out with the crew, you're just kind of like, there's nothing. That to me was kind of almost harder to like.
I thought there would have been like some kind of thank you montage or something like that from Disney or Marvel, something.
Well, they kind of did it with the
signatures.
The signatures.
Oh, yeah,
I really like that thing. They did
that
the credits,
it, really.
But then they did the like, these actors have helped carry this franchise.
Yeah, right.
Their signatures, they're the main ones. And I thought that was, really, you have an answer, Aaron?
Yeah, you're right. The Iron Man stinger was Nick Fury. Then you had the Incredible Hulk with Tony Stark being in the stinger, and then Iron Man 2 was Thor's hammer.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. There it is. Yeah. There it is.
So now this movie, like we had basically two deaths and an aging at the the end. So you know, we had Black Widow. Black Widow surprised me a little bit because she's got the new movie coming out, but then that new movie is going to be a prequel.
Yeah. That's
so right. Which is it's interesting, like just that timing of that because. You know, you kill the character, but then you have another movie coming out after. However, let's not forget these are comic book characters in comic book movies. There's always a way somebody can come back as a cameo, time travel, everything. Even like with
like go back in the quantum realm and time travel and get a bunch of Infinity Stones to rewrite history?
There's always a possibility.
Never heard of that. Yeah, that sounds legit.
No one may be gone forever. But like a good example of that is the like Steve Rogers, you know, he stayed in the past and then he aged. But, you know, there's also storylines in the comics where he had the super serum, it's called, taken out of him. And then he would get all old. But then when he got the super serum put back in, then he got young again. So it's entirely possible something might happen. However, you know, I just liked the way these characters ended. I really did. I mean, I thought, you know, I had a feeling Iron Man was going to die, but the way they handled Captain America, it made so much sense. Of course, he would
beautiful.
Stay back there.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
He got to have love. He got to, you know, because he got to have a
dance.
Life.
That's the callback. The they paid off all of these little things that had been dropped in the movies, in the series, all these years. Yeah. You know, hey, I guess I'm not going to get that dance with all of that stuff. I mean, it was just, and I loved that moment at the end when he says, right before he gets in the little time thing, and he says goodbye to Bucky.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really pay attention to it the first time. You know, I couldn't know, but like to watch those two then, you know, you see it in his eyes, Sebastian Stan. Yeah. He knows.
Yeah.
He knows Cap isn't coming back, which is why, you know, he tells Sam Wilson, hey, go ahead. Go talk to him. Instead of, because I would have thought, oh, well, Bucky would run up to the guy and when Cap comes back and he's old, you know, but he sends Sam there. You know, he's already said goodbye. And so there were all these tiny little moments in there. There was a great thing with, you know, when Black Widow was talking to all the heroes via satellite. They're all, it's 5 years later, they're off doing stuff.
Right. She's trying to be the next, the Nick Fury.
Yeah, and they all sort of have their missions or whatever, and they start to go away. And then you see Carol Danvers, you see Captain Marvel, turn to Rhodey and just like, good luck. Nobody else, just give him that moment. And I'm like, oh, because they, has that already started? You know, because they have a relationship. And it was just a little nod to stuff like that in the movie that I was like, hats off to you for, you know, so many things filled in and
putting all these Easter eggs
in. The thing I loved was, first of all, when the Black Widow Hawkeye fight over who's going to die.
Right.
That was great.
I was like, oh, it's going to be Hawkeye because he's already suicidal because he lost his family. So he just wants to go meet them. And I was like, oh. And when I was like, wow. And knowing there's a Black Widow movie coming, I was like, well, that's bold. So she's like, I'm finally getting my, like Scarlett Johansson, this is my guess, just getting inside her head going, I finally got the Black Widow movie, which we've been screaming about for years.
Yeah.
But I also get to go out in the Avengers world this way, saving everybody.
Yeah.
And everyone, and the way that was like, all right, we just got to go back in time, grab the stones, and we're out. And of course, everyone goes back and things go sideways, and the way they went sideways were so interesting. And everyone goes back in their past and has some like, oh, when Tony Stark's talking to his dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's giving his dad, because that was that tied up.
They de-aged him too.
Oh, man.
Howard Stark. And by the way, he was recast, by the way, Howard Stark.
Yeah.
Because he was in Captain America's movie as he was making a shield. That was Howard Stark. But then I don't know what happened to that actor. they recast him.
Well, it's funny because he is in the, he plays Howard Stark in the, in the Agent Carter series.
Oh, okay.
Oh, interesting.
So I think they were just okay with going back and forth with the different guy, like whatever, we, you know. Yeah. But yeah, that was, you know, all the, excuse me, I loved how they all got to deal with their past. And they all, and there were things that were just, I don't know, it felt so right. Captain America running into Captain America.
Oh,
you
yeah.
have to see that.
Yeah.
Of course that has to have, you know, like so many things like that.
They literally were going back into the older movies, which was hilarious
was
and
so
perfect.
Great.
Yeah.
Same, some of the same shots, you know?
Same shots, and they were just like, oh, okay, you're Loki.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm you.
Loki, I mean, yeah, it was just such a beautiful thing to watch the moments where one of my favorite things is the, you know, they show him, Loki, going, I guess I'll have that drink. You know, in Avengers, when you see that, that's sort of the ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba, and we're out of the scene.
Yep.
And now, for the first time, you get to see what happens after the character says the clever quip, and we cut away. Mm-hmm. And then Tony Stark makes a joke about us posing. You know, like, I just, stuff like that, they filled with so many.
There was another reason for that, too, is, you know, when he grabs the cube, and he gets away. Because Disney Plus, their streaming service, they're making a show based on Loki. So they had to figure out a way to bring him back, too.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So it's because, you know, oh, clearly now he's not dead. If
think
he,
of everything.
Escaped with the cube.
I love, too, like, the beginning of the movie, they took a full hour to set up what happened since Infinity War.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then they went. They killed Thanos like in the first act.
That
of the
was
movie.
Awesome. Oh, and Thor.
I'm like, yeah.
Loses his shit, becomes a fat drunk because
oh
of it.
Oh my god,
that was fucking
perfect.
Great.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes. Well, the great thing about that is they could have taken time to get Thor back in shape.
Mm-hmm.
I love that they left him fat.
Yeah, yeah.
I was waiting for the Smokey and the Bandit 2 get back in shape montage.
Where's the montage? Or where's some magical thing or whatever? Yeah. But nope, that dude stayed.
The Fat Buster Elixir?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We found.
You know, where's the diet hammer? You know, just something. None of that. He just.
We found the CrossFit stone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was just amazing that we got to see him do that. And I mean, Hemsworth.
He's funny.
God damn it.
It would have been so easy. And, you know, it's a different time, but I feel like in the 80s or 90s, he would have just been a straight down the line action star, kind of one note.
Arnold, Sly.
Nothing against those guys, but that. And it's so fun to watch this dude, this action star. Be legitimately fun, be genuinely funny, and have great timing, and really have fun with it. I mean,
and now where you can look forward to all of that being wasted in the new Men in Black movie.
Let's not soil this episode. But you're talking that when he was like, they're figuring out, all right, this is the plan, and Hemsworth is just like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, he's just a drunk in the room.
The reactions. Of like Don Cheadle and Hawkeye just looking at each other like
the good boy.
Oh, okay. I'll give you some trivia on Thor's hammer too. Mm-hmm. On that I was reading because do you remember? I think it was in the first Avengers movie that Thor was like, "Well, no one's worthy. No one can lift the hammer."
Yeah.
And then Captain America lifts it like a little
bit. In Age of Ultron.
In Age of Ultron. And then Thor looks a little nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And then Captain America just he stops.
Yeah.
Well, Joss Whedon had. Implied that Cap could actually lift it the entire time. He didn't want to embarrass Thor.
Wow, that's so great, and that's so in character.
Yeah,
the idea—it's such a chicken and the egg thing because I wonder if anyone ever thought down the line we're going to use this. That we're going to, or if. The Russo brothers went, remember that one time when he picked up the hammer?
Yeah.
What if that happened? Because it was so great when it could have just been left at the hammer comes to Captain America and he starts swinging it and we leap into action. But they had to get that line in there where Thor goes, I knew it. And it just brought you back to that moment. And it was, even though his face was like, hey, what the hell? It was still so great to see that stuff put in there.
There were so many wonderful things, too, about just the conflict that they've had. You know, this building since Civil War. Tony Stark comes back from space. He's almost dead. He's emaciated, which, again, awesome. That Robert Downey Jr.
I mean,
lost weight, looked emaciated.
I wonder how much of that was him... making his body look the way, and how much of that was effects.
Effects. I think I just read that he, because they show him in the trailer and he has his regular muscle mass. Mm-hmm. And I think they did that with effects.
Oh, he just wore a green jumpsuit whatever. Yeah.
I don't know. Although maybe it's the reverse. All I know is that one of those things they were done with effects.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so when him and Cap, that argument that him and Captain America have
was rough.
Like, because you saw both sides and you went,
yeah.
Tony wasn't just being spoiled, Tony, I'm always right, I'm smarter than you. He was making some valid points and Captain America was trying to he felt bad.
He had nothing.
He had had nothing. Yeah. And it was just like, I thought what I was doing was the right thing at the right time. And it's like, well, you fucking blew it. I'm paraphrasing. But that was a powerful scene. And I was just like, oh, and I love a movie that just opens in shambles.
Mm-hmm.
All your heroes are just broken.
Decimated.
Yeah. Everything's, and they're fighting with each other. And as well they would.
Yeah.
Because half of the... planet is done.
Mm-hmm.
And even Thanos, the thing I love, and I said this in Infinity War, his reasoning, and this is what makes a good bad guy. when there's reasoning that you kind of go, well,
yeah, we are kind of overpopulated.
Yeah, I get it. You know, like it's like League of Shadows. It's in Batman Begins. Gotham's pretty corrupt.
Yeah, it's a mess.
It's a mess.
We would all be moving out of that city.
Yeah, it's just like I get it. There's too many, and then when they get Thanos, and he's like, I thought you would do something with this.
That's
I thought it would, and it's like.
Yeah, how
he
did
ain't
you blow
wrong.
It? How
yeah.
did you blow it? Why yeah. does City Field look like a mess?
Yeah.
There should be, we should pass over that and there's a game going on.
Yes.
You know, like.
And everyone's like, okay, we're not, this time we're, this awful thing happened, but we're going to learn from it. We're not going to overpopulate. We're not going to blow through all of our resources.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. But I mean, the great thing is that you get to see the world affected by it. And I think in lesser hands, we would have just stuck with the heroes, and it would have been a little more claustrophobic. But you're seeing normal people dealing with it. I love that they had the thing in San Francisco, the sort of memoriam.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
That was heartbreaking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the groups and, you know, people trying to work through.
No coincidence that it was fashioned after some 9/11 memorials,
yeah.
too.
Oh, totally.
It really did.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it just top to bottom. But I loved that first hour where you're just seeing them adjust, and it's not necessarily a leap in action thing. And well, when they do leap in action, you see what it, even then they blow it. Mm-hmm. The stones aren't there, and then he kills the one lead essentially.
Yeah.
And that was such a great moment because it was cool, but also it left you in this. Well, now what are they
gonna do? What, yeah.
Well, how do we? I've never seen a movie where they kill the villain out of
the beginning.
Gate.
Yeah,
never seen it.
Well, it was so well done because they made the time travel thing so intricate and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that former Thanos
totally. Yeah, he finds out about
figures
it.
Figures
yeah.
out the
yeah the,
and
the plot. I thought that was great.
God,
yeah,
that was great because mm-hmm. That's what he would do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's got one goal, baby.
Mm-hmm. And it merges the two. I think
yeah.
it would have felt cheap if we just had this one Thanos running around clueless to everything and then mm-hmm. trying to smash guys for no apparent reason at all. But the fact that it essentially merged past and present Thanos.
Oh, it, perfectly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I love the fact that it was. I mean, I think there had been internet rumors or people talking about this. The idea that Ant-Man is the one at the center of this idea, like he's got to show up and go, what about the quantum realm, everybody? Like, who saw that coming? You know,
I at the end of Infinity War, I thought yeah. when yeah. Hank
at the end of Ant-Man and Wasp, when he was stuck in Infinity War, when he was stuck and then everyone else got dusted, and I thought, oh, that's gonna play a role.
He's gonna come
sure.
back.
Yeah.
He's
oh
stuck
yeah,
in
I figured
the...
he'd come back. I just didn't know
because he was safe in there from the snap.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah,
and then. You know, I was sitting there watching the movie going, well, where's Michelle Pfeiffer? Where's she going to show up? She shows up at the funeral. The funeral was great again, going back to it of like, oh, there's that person.
Yep.
Yes.
That's where they.
So fun.
But I want to talk about.
Howard the Duck.
The Gamora.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
She comes back. First of all, hilarious. And the thing they did so well. The Avengers have a specific tone, but they go to the tones of each one of these individual worlds.
Yes,
so she comes back. So there's the Guardian Galaxy. She hates Quill.
Mm-hmm.
And the other goes, well, it was between this and a tree. Fucking brilliant line.
Yeah.
Brilliant line.
I love the reset. It's just they're not going to hold your hand through any of this.
No.
And sorry, that Gamora is gone. I mean, it was a great way of bringing
because the Soul
Gamora
Stone,
back.
Nobody comes back from that.
Yeah.
Like, even the Hulk, when he said, well, look, I tried to bring it back. It couldn't, like.
Yeah.
Because really, if, you know, logically that works, too. If you could bring her back from that, then you wouldn't have the Soul Stone. Because the Soul Stone requires that sacrifice.
Yeah.
In order to use it.
And so, like, he was so, like, it was so great because he was like, oh, there's my baby. I miss her. And then she just kicks him in the nuts.
Yeah. But to me,
because that's what she would do, not knowing him.
Yeah. And that, to me, is the Gamora Quill relationship that is ongoing through the comic books. And so it was nice that they kind of gave him a thing for a minute. But it's as if they went, okay, now we're moving on back to, even though we don't know where she is now. And
but
we
where is
know,
she?
I don't know.
At the end of the movie, I was like, where the fuck is Gamora? Mm-hmm. You just see she's on some missing screen where they do that thing of who's in charge of the ship.
Yeah.
That was the one part I found a little annoying. Like, I got it. Ha ha. Is it Thor or Quill? And then they kind of kept doing it. I was like,
I don't know. I loved that. It was just so funny to me. I just, that last creepy look that he gives.
That was funny. Yeah.
Like, okay. I'm with you there.
But what happened to her? Where is she? And obviously they went, I loved it because I went, oh, Guardians 3, The Search for Gamora. Got it. You know, I'm in. But.
Well, my first thought was, even though this is not it, because Guardians 3. Is I thought, wouldn't she vaporize with or dust away like the rest of Thanos' army? But if she turned, you know, a sort of like a force thing,
right?
It's like she's pure now. She's come to the light side, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, then she would have been spared. By
she's
the,
yeah. So
Thanos
yeah,
and his troops dusting.
What if she just? That's I don't know. Went and got a job somewhere. She's on Earth.
She's temping.
Yeah. That would be great.
She's at the Citibank Field Restoration Project. She's working.
I like that. Just the green clerk.
She's working at John Wick's Assassin Hotel. Yeah. That's where she is.
Well, all right. I want to talk about this, too. So the final battle scene.
Yes. Where everyone comes back.
Everyone comes back. It was great. So Thanos is all arrogant. I'm going to crush you. And then
I think I got weepy during that. I think
Like, oh boy! Like, oh my God! There's everybody all in one spot, everybody. Which we've never seen before.
And then whenever he comes back, there's the Doctor Strange, you know, sparkler wheels open up, and then everybody jumps in. I was like, oh fuck yeah! Mm-hmm. And I love how Thanos.
That's where you could see Howard the Duck is in a corner.
There. Of course, right? In every little circle,
he pops out.
Just high. But how Thanos for a sec went, and then just went, all right.
Yeah.
Fucking, oh, battle to the death.
Yeah,
I'm in.
Fine.
Here we go. Like, oh.
I am the Mad Titan.
Yeah.
I didn't get it.
This is actually.
Exactly. I didn't just make that title up. People gave it to me.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Oh, so it is going to be. He probably was like, oh, good. Now more fair fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now we can really get into it.
Yeah. And it was great because all the Avengers that had been gone, everybody got a moment to do a thing. So you didn't feel like, I mean, it was great, but then we never got to see Black Panther or Doctor Strange, or, you know, they all got their moment to do a thing and effectively and cool. It wasn't just a flyby.
No, and the thing that was cool is that the effectiveness of it was like the Wakanda that we got to see that whole universe come through this portal.
Oh, that was great too.
Here it is.
Background.
And you're just like, oh shit. And then here's the Doctor Strange gang and they're all ready to go. And that was like, oh, I get chills
Guardians,
talking about that.
And then the Ravagers must have been there somewhere.
The Ravagers were there. I didn't even think about them, but they were. I mean, just everybody showed up.
I really half expected to see Sylvester Stallone. From the last Guardians, remember? Him and his group of...
I forgot about
his,
it.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that...
You know, I'd have to see this again on IMAX. Maybe he was there.
Probably.
Yeah. But, I mean, that... those people all jumped through the portal. I also was going to... I thought it was Doctor Strange who was going to be the one who was the key to figuring out this whole thing as opposed to Ant-Man. I just... You know, but also I love that we got to see the Ancient One.
Yeah.
With the Hulk. And they're having this whole conversation. And,
that was great. When she knocks Banner out of the Hulk's body.
Mm-hmm. And let's try that again.
Let's try that again. And then he's got a reason with her. And then you see her make the connection.
Yeah.
When they do that cool timeline thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was a debate.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Was very cool. You have all this other stuff going on. Everything was balanced so well.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting that the two most grounded heroes with no powers end up in the most mystical realm. Mm-hmm. And it all comes down to a fist fight between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the biggest guy, the one who can destroy everything, it's just him sitting down having a discussion. With this woman. Yeah. I mean, and then you get to see Captain America and you know, Ant-Man and you know, Iron Man running around kind of goofing off in New York. I mean, it was just so well balanced and you know.
Well, that's such a great point is had it been just 3 hours of one big explosion fight, I would have got old.
Oh, yeah.
So it was so much more intriguing. She knocks Bruce... Banner out of the Hulk, and then we have this discussion and this debate, which is so much more intriguing than they just fight it out until he gets the stone out of her hands or whatever. Like, that was so, and it was so thinking, and that character is all about intelligence and logic.
Yeah.
So, you know, Dr. Banner has to appeal to her logic because the Hulk can't beat her.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So he has to come up with a logical thing. And so, all right. And they prove out the theory like good scientists do. And he, and she went, yours is better. Yours wins. All right.
But, and it, it was, you know, you mentioned the tone of like, all the different Doctor worlds. Where's
Doctor Strange? You're 5 years too early.
Yeah. That was great. But, and, you know, but, you know, this whole scene encompassed the big theme of Doctor Strange. Even without him, they managed to get the mystical versus the science in there.
God, and that's so great.
And in doing that, they sort of soften or explain the quantum. It's a big thing to wrap your head around. And I felt like that was a nice way to sort of remind the audience, well, this is what's happening. This is how this works. And this is why, this is what's at stake. Just this conversation between the two of them. And I thought that was really great, kind of explaining the timeline and what could happen and, you know.
And, you know, that's also the fact that they started with, you know, Banner and Hulk coexisting, too.
That was a great story.
Yeah.
Hulk has got glasses, and he's talking intellectually, and he's taking selfies.
Yeah.
And then Ant-Man's like, you guys want? And they're like, no, we're good. That was fucking nobody knows who you are. Yeah, nobody.
It's
which
been
was
5 years.
Yeah.
It was also a wink. I mean, they were acknowledging, the MCU was acknowledging that Ant-Man is not their most popular character, you know, and that Paul Rudd probably has to listen just as the actor Paul Rudd of like, aren't you, what are you, Ant guy or whatever? Yeah. Oh, hey, do you know Chris Evans? Like, I'm sure people like, you know.
Yeah. But at the same time, being one of the funniest people and most entertaining. Yeah. Like, while that scene is happening, you're also going, this is hilarious. I can watch them do this for another 10
and
minutes.
And true to the character.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and the fact, I mean, it was just hilarious to watch this, you know, intellectual, I've got a harness on my rage and I can stay as Hulk forever, but he's just eating all this food and they're all just like, okay, buddy. Like,
yeah. Well, they could have wasted a lot of time going into it. And I like that they just dropped in and surprised, this is where we are now.
Yeah.
Well, they, you know, could have been, had him in the lab and doing all that. And like, who gives a shit?
One of the things they really didn't explain, you were up to kind of explain it on your own, was like 5 years, all the people that were gone when they came back, they didn't age, did they? It was like when they came back, are you 5 years older?
Oh, yeah.
But you're not, because you look at Spider-Man, he's going to be still in high school, but then the rest of his class would have graduated. You know, whoever survived. So when we see Spider-Man Far From Home, I'm sure they'll give it a mention, but it's entirely possible that Spider-Man and all his friends got dusted, and then they all came back at the same time. Like, oh, well, this is the class of dusting. Then you guys have to go back to being sophomores again, or whatever.
They've got to retake their finals.
Yeah.
But the... Oh, God. Really? But I was gone. But the scene did seem to imply that his buddy had been around just because of the reunion.
Right.
Because
then he wouldn't have been in high school anymore.
I know.
Yeah.
We may have found a flaw in the diamond.
Oh, Chris cracked the code.
Or he's just a really shitty student, and he's been held.
He got held back three times.
His
buddy's
an idiot.
Yeah.
So all right, I would buy that, too.
That's where we find out the kid who built the Death Star Lego
And then dropped it.
Yeah, was not quite
at the top of his class. I submit this. Because of the dusting, schools and everything just stopped for several years.
Oh.
So everything just had to stop while they kind of had to figure everything out. And then it's like after 2-3 years of this, it's like, all right, time to go back to school. So now the kid's sort of a junior-ish.
Yeah, that actually makes more sense. Right? I could see him.
Doesn't have all the credits, but some of them.
Yeah, because the teachers disappeared. Half of the administrators disappeared.
Before stuff was graded.
Everyone's just got to go back to being a sophomore.
You know, teachers coming back. Oh, I still got a mountain of paperwork. No one took care of that.
Do I have to grade the kids
gone?
That are still here?
Yeah.
Are they just the kids that are gone? Can I just do half?
I mean, it does speak to the whole Spider-Man Far From Home movie coming out, it's you know, Spider-Man is one of the smaller movies in the MCU, But Spider-Man's such a great character. But I do love what they do with the small movies and how they really incorporate the big stuff that's happened.
Right.
And Spider-Man has sort of this interesting thing of being actually the final film of Phase 3.
Yeah, for sure.
And so there's going to be a lot there that he's going to deal with. And it'll just be fun to see. It'll be like seeing a little bit more of Endgame in Spider-Man Far From Home. So I'm looking forward to whatever they do.
I think it's going
to
do huge numbers. And for one of the reasons is that, you know, Endgame is kind of like the end of the franchise. This is almost like the epilogue.
Yes.
You know, the Spider-Man movie. Yeah. So I think it's going to do even better than the first one did.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I had so many moments, like when Hawkeye's family disappeared in the beginning of the movie. I was like crushed at that. I was like,
You know what small moment that really got me? I got like a chill is when Iron Man comes back and he tells Pepper Potts, "I lost the kid." He's talking about Spider-Man.
Yes.
I was like, oh, man, that was really a poignant moment.
Their love story, their relationship, when he's like, "I got to go back to help him," and she's just on the couch like, "I know who you are.
Yeah.
I know who I married." Which is so, we've talked about this before in other things. I get so tired of the wife, like, stop being that thing that you said I married, you know, like.
Okay, a couple things there. So, yes, him saying that, "I lost the kid," I love that they carried that through the whole thing. And I love that essentially became Peter Parker's arc. And
so when he came back and they hugged.
Yes. Oh. The fact that they carried, or that really became more of Tony Stark's arc, the fact that he's a human being. He's a real person. I love that she is sort of like, well, go do the thing that you do. But even better, first of all, I hated her jumping into that armor in Iron Man 2, I think it was, or 3.
Three.
I really hated that. Same. But I kind of loved it in Endgame. When she showed up, at first I was like, who is that? And then I was like, oh, it's Pepper. All right, Pepper, come on and join the fun. You know, right. I really like that. But the biggest thing, one of the best moments for me, is when he dies. And, you know, Peter's crying and she sort of pulls him back and she's standing over him. And I was just waiting for the weeping, crushed, crumbling, you know, and she tells him, we're going to be okay. It's okay. And she is strong for him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because
for his daughter.
And for his daughter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But she, you know, Tony Stark's whole thing is, I have to protect everybody because what happens when I'm gone? And here it's happening. He's gone. And she's sort of... They let her be the stronger character in that moment instead of just being a cliche of like, oh no, just weeping for Tony Stark, like we all were doing in the theater.
That was such a great point because it again speaks to who she is and their relationship. I know that I'm in love with and married to the smartest man in the world who is a superhero.
Yeah,
right.
I am not delusional that we're going to have a regular life.
No.
You know what I mean? And I've prepared myself for this day since I met him.
When that car pulls up.
Yep.
You know, it's got the Hulk in it.
And you know, like I know this day was going to happen.
Yeah.
And one of the things, you know, her commitment was always, she wasn't just like, I love Tony. She was like, I'm committed to Tony's work of saving the planet and making this world a better place. I'm committed to that. And it's one of the reasons I love him.
Yeah.
And so when he dies, I'm sad. Of course, I'm not a monster, but his work continues because that's what I fell in love with, that aspect of him.
Yeah.
You know, she understood and loved him for that, for all of it. And so it makes it's such a great thing you brought up. I'm so glad they didn't have her just go.
Yeah.
But she just went, no.
But it's also there's a duality thing. It is his work that she's care, but it's our work.
It's both everyone's. Of them,
because remember the debate in the Avengers, when you first see Tony and Pepper, she's like, "How much of this company are you giving?" They're sort of joking, but he's like, "Yeah, you get whatever, 3%." 3%, motherfucker?
Yeah.
No. I'm the one running. This is, I'm getting much more. Like, they have that whole thing right before Coulson shows up and is like, suit up, buddy, you know. I just, and it to me, it also spoke to how do you know, there's always the talk, well, how do we write strong female characters? And I think it's easy to miss the mark with having, you know, you could have Black Widow suit up and kick everybody's ass in that hallway in Iron Man 2, but the strong character says, I'm going to sacrifice myself for the Soul Stone. And you can have Pepper Potts throw on the armor and shoot him up like everybody else, but the stronger character makes sure that the guy dying in front of her knows, I got this. Mm-hmm. You're going to be fine. And I think that was and it could have been so easily glossed over, but I just, the thing about this movie is there's so much of it, and it's like they thought of everything.
Well, it's such a great point, because they didn't just write her like she was just the wife or the girlfriend. Yeah. She was the part of the Stark Industries. She helped, like you said, she helped run it. Like, clearly he couldn't have done half, you know, like she was running shit.
I think early on, too, that was sort of an issue people had with her character, was like she was a little bit more of that character we see sometimes. I think that was a debate.
Right.
Well, no matter how you felt about it.
But. I mean, the directors, the Russo brothers, it must be weird now. Like, oh, we could do whatever we want now.
Yeah.
There's literally could do whatever. They could tell J.J. Abrams what to do at this point. I mean, they're literally, their ticket is set. You want to do a tiny little movie? You want to do another $100 million movie? Mm-hmm. Write your own ticket.
Yeah.
Here are all the offers. And if you don't like any of these, tell us what you want to do and we'll fund it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, there's no, after this movie, where else are you going to go? You know, that's you want.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to chase, you know, doing another giant blockbuster. You could literally do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of, I mean, there's no series of movies that have wrapped up this massive of a world.
Mm-mm,
I can't think of it. I really,
it's never been done before.
It's never been done before. I mean, we've seen the end of a trilogy, which was like, you know, Dark Knight Rises was really cool and how they did that, but that was just three movies. Yeah. It wasn't the whole DC universe that they wrapped up. I mean, it was just like, there's nothing to compare this to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and they managed to do it while like sort of touching and accommodating all the other movies. Not just
for sure
moving the going on to the next story, but all the all these things, there's so much payoff. There's so much payoff, and it's, you know, I mean, going back to the hammer again, but that to me is the best example of a thing that they were like, I know what we're going to do. It's not just a joke. It solves the problem. It's a big story point. It's a big character thing that they managed to take this, essentially a 3-second joke in Age of Ultron, and really pay it off in a dramatic and plausible and very, you know, exciting, satisfying way. And they did that with it, just, you know, all these beats, everything, you know, it was so great. So great.
Yeah. And then
we're all going to see it again.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Probably see it again.
Yeah, too.
I mean, they wrapped it up. And also then, like you were saying, Kevin said, like, oh, here's Guardians of the Three storyline, little teaser for that. And you know, there's going to be another Black Panther and there's no, there's going to be, there's no Captain Marvel's coming, you know, and all these like, oh, cool. These newer characters are gonna keep living, and the, you know, it was.
Might have another Captain America movie with Falcon.
I loved that they. I mean, I just thought, well, it's gonna be Bucky. He's gonna pass
in the comics.
On to
him. He temporarily becomes Captain America. Yeah.
I think there have been several. It's him. I feel like there was somebody else who took it on, some guy who's now a villain, and then more recently it was Sam Wilson. But I just like that they just went, let's just give it to Sam. I think Bucky would have been the obvious answer, and it was very cool that they did that. Also, what I didn't realize until I read about this morning, they give a nod to another hero that may, who knows, but when Cap walks into the his hiding from who's the woman in the elevator with him, who notices them when they're in the secret base?
Yvette Nicole Brown.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
He dips into Agent Carter's office. She's having a conversation about somebody, and she's referencing Colonel or somebody Braddock who hasn't checked in. Well, that's Captain Britain.
Yeah.
Oh.
I
mean,
great.
So many little nuggets that, you know.
I get with this, the Asgard. When Thor hands over Asgard to, forget the actress.
Valkyrie.
Valkyrie.
Yeah.
I was
Tessa
like,
Thompson, yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. And she's a great actress. And I was just like, oh, man, that was so cool.
Yeah. Her riding around on that horse, I kind of thought, oh, we'll see her. And then they're not going to. But she really, they gave her stuff to do in that movie. And it was, oh, man. Everyone got to have a moment. It was really exciting.
Yeah, they didn't just throw, well, we got to put everybody in the scene. Mm-hmm. And they just show up and went, hi. They just, everybody did it. And they did it the way they, true to their character and true to that specific universe that has already been created. Mm-hmm. I loved it, man. Yeah. I absolutely.
All right. Any closing thoughts? We've been talking about Endgame for a while now.
Yes, we have.
A couple hours.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I'm going to leave here and then I'm going to be like, oh, in the
thing. Oh, I forgot. Yeah, talk about that.
There's just so much. I'm going to give it a minute before I see it again.
Yeah.
I think I have one more time in me. But
I like to give it a couple days for sure.
Yeah,
and just kind of let it settle and then see it again. As I said, on the
regular episode, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to watch Infinity War online, and then go see Endgame again.
Right? Yeah, that's the way to do
it. And just then I will really the second Endgame viewing, I'll be like, all right, this there, boom, bam, got it.
Yeah,
but
oh man,
fucking James Brolin Thanos.
Oh, it was fantastic. Yeah,
remember when? I mean, I don't know about you guys. I was kind of like, really? This feels kind of like it could be kind of cheesy. I don't know. It wasn't anything. It had nothing to do with James Brolin. I think just Thanos looking the way Thanos does. Sometimes, you know, overall they found a way to make a lot of what you see on the pages of the comic book translate onto the screen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's a great example because the character looks ridiculous. But after a while, I'm like, I'm just looking at a regular guy.
It's a combination of the technology to where they mocap
the facial expressions.
Mm-hmm. So then Brolin's acting is conveying the emotions.
Yeah,
and then it's animated.
Animated through. So then Thanos isn't just this ridiculous looking bad space monster or whatever. Yeah. It's like he's got feelings and emotions and
He's injured.
He's injured.
I like that when we see him, he's like, oh boy, I've had a tough day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
I didn't think destroying these Infinity Stones would hurt so much.
Jesus.
That was a rough one.
Yeah. Boy, it burned my arm.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Excellent episode. Excellent.
Still didn't get it.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'll watch it again.
I didn't get it. Open the sum up. Not a fan. Yeah. All right. So go to the message boards, guys. Yeah, that's the twist ending of this spoiler.
Yeah.
We talk about how we love it for an hour and then go, pass.
Didn't get it.
Don't worry. Wait for it. Watch it on a plane.
20-some movies in. Didn't get any of them.
Great plane movie. Yeah. Watch it on your phone while you're like doing your laundry.
Yeah. Just turn your phone over. You don't have to have the screen up. Just
listen,
the audio.
Tune in. It's like watching baseball in the background. It's not that big of a deal.
Oh, man.
All right. We loved it. Let us know what you felt about it on the message boards or the Facebook page.
So, Kevin, where can people find you online?
I am at Kevin Avery on Twitter. I wish I tweeted more. I tweet. But you can really find me on, I'm on Instagram at Kevin Avery Comedy. And also, I'm on a show called The New Negroes. It's a new show on Comedy Central.
Nice.
Fridays at 11 p.m. And I was writing on the show. I was the head writer on the show, I'm also doing stand up on I think the episode on the 17th. The 17th and on the 24th, I'm also on another episode with Method Man.
What kind of show is it? It's sketch?
It's stand-up? Primarily like stand-up, but then, so it's hosted by Baron Vaughn and Open Mike Eagle. And, very funny guys. And, Mike is a very talented rapper. And so it incorporates
I don't know
commentary.
Mike, but Baron's hilarious.
Oh, man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Baron's, and together they're really funny. And so so there's like a little commentary between the comics. Every show sort of has a theme. And then Mike brings a guest rapper, and they've collaborated a song, and so they have a music video at the end of the thing.
Oh, great!
And it's great. And I got to do one with Method Man, where I played a butler, and it was a fun show to make. So I hope everyone will check it out.
You can also see Kevin Avery on the First Nations Comedy Experience. All episodes are available at watch.fnx.org.
That's right.
Check it out.
You can see him talk about boy bands.
Yeah, I almost got roughed up by Joey McIntyre. Talked about that last time I was here.
Oh, shoot. You know what we almost forgot, Graham?
What?
Our Patreon sponsors.
Son of a bitch.
How could you forget
Christopher?
Well, I said almost.
Infinity Stone.
Yeah. spoiler episode number 94, Patreon sponsors.
If you look closely at the big battle and all the heroes are coming through, your Patreon sponsors are coming through one of those
right behind
portals.
Howard the Duck.
Yes. from Will Leonard, his wife Katie Bagwell is once again riding the MS-150 at the end of the month here. From Houston to Austin, and the money raised will fund amazing progress in MS research. You could reach her donation page at willthetd.com/CFN if you can help her achieve her goal. And Johnny Rulon's promoting his novel Green Cheek, Junkie's Guide to Street Magic. It's on Amazon, both digital and hard copy. It's an experimental stream of consciousness novel which follows the exploits of the muse Calliope and her mortal lover T.S. on a journey through time, dreams, and the hidden places of a supernatural America. The website's happyhorrorshowproductions.com. happyhorrorshowproductions.com. And Fanboy Planet, a website and podcast for all things geeky and amazing. Check it out for your comic news, movie news, TV news, and amazing interviews with industry insiders and artists. Fanboyplanet.com. And from Chris Parker Howard, Coffee Over Suicide, a dramedy podcast about mental illness and choosing life over death. One cup of coffee at a time. New episodes every Friday. CoffeeOverSuicide.com. CoffeeOverSuicide.com. And Alice Frazier, co-host of the Bugle podcast and host of Tea with Alice, brings you a series of three genre-bending solo stand-up shows that explore the boundary between comedy and tragedy. They recorded back-to-back as a three-hour show at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, and you can check her out at alicefrazier.com with an S, alicefrazier.com. And Rebecca Evans, the art podcast. We move past hesitation, we're true to ourselves, we find our own art in life. New episode with comic author and musician Greg Barrett, theartpodcasts.com with an S. All right.
That's it, guys. I'm doing the Progressive Comedy Tour. Ron Placone and I are coming to the East Coast June 12th through the 19th. We're going to D.C., Baltimore, two nights in Philly, New Haven, Connecticut, New York City, and Boston. I think June 17th in New York City, I'm going to be recording my new special. So go, all my tour dates and everything are at GrahamElwood.com.
And check out my comic book and graphic novel, Long Ago and Far Away, dropping from Starburns Press. You want the whole thing printed, go to comedyfilmlearners.com. I'll sign it for you. But if you want the digital copies from Starburns, go to Comixology. And also, I just did the Sklar Brothers podcast, Dumb People Town, and that just released. That was really, really fun. We talk about a fight between two roommates over boiling an egg.
Oh, good. Good thing to battle about.
Yeah. So it's a really fun podcast.
That's our show. Kevin Avery, thank you so much for joining us.
Guys, thank you so much for letting me get this out.
Yes.
God, I needed to. I was going to explode.
Let us be your support group for any and all movies that you need to discuss.
Yeah.
This is a safe place, buddy. Thank you to Aaron Brungard and everybody at the All Things Comedy World Headquarters. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember, Han shot first.